Save big on home updates at Menards. Transform your floors and walls with stylish Mohawk porcelain tile. 12 by 24 inch urban forged tiles combine a bold modern look with the timeless beauty of natural stone for a stunning result. Plus, they feature StepSure, an advanced slip-resistant technology providing safety without compromising style. Save big money on Mohawk porcelain tile. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Here they come, yo. Here they come. All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What's up, sports peppers? Welcome to the fray. It's an FYF Friday on The Usual Suspects. Hey, I'm telling you right now, we appreciate you taking us along for the ride, and we're going to take you till 4. Blitz is going to take you till 7, but the most important thing is you missed 2 hours of the show, dang it, and so you're not supposed to do that.
Idiots.
So what I always tell you to do is to log on to ESPN975.com, click on the show tab for The Usual Suspects, check out the 2 hours you missed of the show, including OHO. See what I'm doing here, Barry?
I like how you said it. Also very white like Tyler did earlier. OHO.
Yeah. Amongst other things that we were speaking about. So like I said, it would help you. And while you're there on the site, ESPN975.com, you can also download the app, and then you can take us anywhere, everywhere, and never miss another moment of the show. With that being said, I would say Tyler is here filling in for Nick, who's in Vegas, but now Tyler's not here either. So my dude, Jerry Bowe,
filling in for Tyler,
is on the show.
Who's filling in for Nick.
Jerry Bowe, I don't know if you... Welcome to the show, by the way. It's the first time you've ever been behind the glass for us.
I'm excited.
We appreciate
don't
that.
Don't lie.
No, I am.
Don't lie.
One of the first shows I ever podcasted as an intern was this show.
And oh, I'm
the
sorry.
First time I ever got to touch a microphone for a brief second was with this show.
Nice.
And then now I get to produce
So we
it.
Made you.
Do you find yourself touching microphones a lot in private?
Was that...
No comment.
Was that you. When you... Didn't you, like, take shots at me and then leave? Was that what that was?
I think he more defended himself against you.
No, I think he took shots at me.
No, no shots at that time.
But I remember that.
At that time.
What was that experience? Because most people give me a bad rap for bringing in interns.
Jerry, you'd be 100% honest.
And messing with them and giving them an opportunity to get mic time and have some fun and do it. What was the experience like? Was it a bad experience? Would you suggest I never do that to another intern again?
I guess it depends who they are, because if they're weak and they fold, that might make them not want to go forward with this. With me, I just took it as you were messing with me, man. It could have been better. I was prepared, man. Y'all said, hey, we're going to do either Astros or a Rocket segment where you could pick either one when you get on. I had it down to a T. I said, hope, please ask Rockets. Please ask Rockets. We never even got to that. We got to my name. I said Jerry Bowe, and it was over.
Barry came at you, and you started swinging, man.
Like you said, if they're weak and they fold, guess what? You're probably not going to do well on radio to begin with, because the first mean text you get, you're going to be crying. The first caller that calls in and calls you a dumbass because you don't know what you're talking about, you're going to fold. And you're tougher, and now you have a show, and yeah, you're taking over the world. You're the foremost gambling expert in the world of Houston on Sports Map. I mean, you're doing big things. I feel like you owe me.
Take the cheese. That's how I pay you back this weekend. You take the cheese.
I'm not taking the cheese.
You
Jerry.
Do realize, Jerry, too, by the way, because if you've been living under a rock again.
Wait. So you're given the three?
That's where I'm having trouble because I'm thinking about just money lining them, man. And at this point, I'm just reading into all the narratives, man. When have you ever? It reminds me of like when McGregor was fighting Khabib. It's like I read into what McGregor was doing. He was scared. And for the Patriots to put this underdog narrative on themselves right off the field and making shirts, and that goes to tell you where their mindset is at. Yeah. That team has never needed extra motivation ever. If they were so sure of themselves, they wouldn't be looking for something.
Well, that's a good point.
Now, you do know, Jerry, that as successful as you've been, and again, if you've been under a rock and don't realize, Jerry is our gambling expert aficionado. He's been on a hell of a roll since he's gotten on the sports map and here on the stations. But here's the other thing. There are spreadsheets that are out there created by people. There are formulas that have been in place that are color-coded. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but I'm just going to give you a heads up because you like that that kind of lead into what might be coming your way. There is a guy by the name of Barry Bow. Barry Bow's coming at you with a spreadsheet, color-coordinated formulas, and other things. He's been picking some games pretty good this year, too. He's had a hell of a year.
He's hating on me because I'm not hating. I'm giving him full credit. He can use as a calculator, so he's hating on me because I have a spreadsheet.
No. See, again, he gets defensive.
Do you use a spreadsheet, Jerry?
I do, and I listen to the show. I listen. I know that you use a spreadsheet. I don't know what are the stats that you're putting on there or what's in there. But, yeah, you have to have some kind of sheet.
You got
to
have a formula. You ride or die with your formula,
before you get
right?
defensive for another minute, what was your record this year for the NFL?
I don't remember.
It's pretty damn good, wasn't it?
And look at it.
The only mistake you really made the whole year was that you never placed money on your own bets and believed in your ass.
I did a couple.
Okay. And you didn't win those games. That was the ones you should have picked. And for AJ's pool,
I did
picked the wrong
games. I did a couple with my bookie and didn't do well. Then I was like, you know what? I'm too cheap to gamble. But I do it on occasion. If I really feel strong,
yeah,
I'll hop on my bookie and do one. My problem isn't the formulas and the numbers and the picks. I'm cheap. I'm too scared to risk the money.
I think, and I listen to Barry a lot. Barry and Josh on Sundays also have a show. You guys need to catch Jerry. That from 10 to noon. But I listen to Jerry a lot. And the one thing, Jerry, I give you credit for, maybe you can break it down for people, is people are relying on you to pick games right. And there's 15, 16 games in a weekend. I found it interesting for you to be at, you have to decipher between, like, first take your heart out of it and then decipher, like, I like this game, don't like this game, and there are games that I'm just staying away from no matter what people want me to do for them. That's got to be hard.
That's the whole game there. We all, as kids, and I have that a lot of problem with that, a lot of friends, because they, and that's why I don't mix gambling with friends, because a friend will tell you, hey, man, I know sports too. There's a guy out there probably right now that knows college basketball tenfold as me, but I am in the business of moving money.
Mm-hmm.
So in this game, you can put together all the numbers you want, but you think that the odds maker that set that number don't have all the same numbers you do?
Mm-hmm.
They have that, and they are anticipating where the money's going to come from when they set that number. So it's not so much numbers. Yeah, you resort to that because we want to know how they react on third down. We want to know who does best in the red zone. But what we want to know is, what's happened in this spot before? What have you seen? And that's where you go for it. Because, for example, this week, everyone's talking Patriots now. All of a sudden, the narrative changed.
But me.
So, now, what's changed so much in the last 6 weeks that they came out and beat a Charger team that was over-traveled, tired, and they really didn't match up? They never left that zone scheme with six defensive backs out there, and they never switched. That wasn't the Chargers team. But again, we talked about this Chargers team all year. Who was that Chargers team? The one that barely beat San Francisco? The one that barely, they had to come back a few times? We gave them a lot of credit.
Like the Texans.
So when you get this far, it's what you know. What you know is that the Patriots usually shine in the playoffs. We say usually because their home road splits are really bad. The Patriots at home this year, even though they had a bad year, they killed it at home. Everyone knew that whenever they have a bye week, the first week, that first game, they win by over 16 points per game. We know that. They showed that. But what are the Patriots on the road?
Yeah, see, that's good stuff, man. That's deep. Yeah,
that is deep. Didn't change my mind, but that's deep.
Barry and I broke down one, and we'll have you in here breaking down the other one if you want. But I feel very strongly about the Chiefs at home with a mobile quarterback, and the fact that, you know, we were going back and forth on things, and Barry and I disagree on that one. So I'm surprised, but also pleasantly so, that you think that you're on the Chiefs bandwagon.
Since you asked, my record this year was 149-97-7.
See?
That's a 59% winning
percentage. I'm propping him up. That's damn good.
And that's picking every game every
week.
With
spreads.
Week. Yeah, every game every week against the spread, I got about 59% right.
See, so then you ask yourself, the elimination process from there. Okay,
the hard part is figuring out, exactly, you can't bet every game.
Right, exactly.
Unless your units are $10. And then you're like, all right, yeah, I can put up 160 a week, but you're not really making money if you're doing that.
And then you're playing against the juice at that point because each one of those games, that 10 bucks is going to win you nine. So now you gave up a dollar. Now you eight or nine and seven isn't going to get you a winning week. You really got to go beat the juice. And that's where the whole game is beating that juice.
Yep. It ain't easy.
No, it ain't. They say really 2-3% of professional gamblers end up winning. I mean, that's it. It's rough.
It is. Man. It is not a way that I would want to earn a living full time.
So there you go. So we've got another game we still have to break down, and that is the Saints game. So we'll be breaking down the Saints and the Rams at some point during the final hour of the show. We also got our final clip for our Comedian of the Week. So we'll get to that coming out of this next break, but don't go anywhere. Plenty more of the final hour of the big show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1.
This is Nolan Ryan. You're listening to Houston's best sports talk, ESPN 97.5.
I sit alone in my four-cornered room, staring at candle. Whatever this is on, let me drop some shit like this here.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
A lot of people smoke cigarettes, and that's okay. People out there are smoking, that's all right. I just wish that you would quit smoking because, not because I care about your health, but because I'm tired of seeing the anti-smoking commercials that come on at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Right? They always start off, it's like, I used to smoke cigarettes, and now I have this hole in my neck. I'm like, oh my God, can you please cover your neck, I'm just trying to eat my lactose-free ice cream over here. And it keeps going, too. He's like, when I take a shower, water gets in the hole. I'm like, oh, my God. There's nothing to stop that from happening. Can't lay a tarp over your neck. So I came up with this idea. It's a flap that goes over that. And when they talk, it opens like a bulldozer's exhaust hole. I'm gonna take it to Shark Tank. I think I'm going to get a good deal on it.
Here's our final clip of the week. F Yeah Friday. Funny. Owen Dunn, our Comedian of the Week. Barry gave you some backstory on him in hour number one, but a funny dude that actually used to intern here at ESPN 97.5.
Once upon a time, Owen Dunn was an intern here and a show contributor and a member of the Whiskey Brothers podcast for a brief while. He's done Laughing Skull Festival, which was a big deal. It's one of the bigger festivals. And like I mentioned, he was on. He worked at CW39. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, now it is. Yeah,
yeah. And then now he's at ABC 13. So my dude Owen Dunn took care of me when I first started. So I wanted to show some love. Get some text, and then we'll break down that game because we also need to talk about your boy Michael Beasley showing up in the wrong shorts.
That was funny.
We need to get to that too. But Barry, are you going with Raheel to do the circus workout? Them fools, Granato and Dale are being lazy. No. I'm not doing no damn circus workout.
What is the circus workout? Do you know?
So Michelle sent the email out about we can all go work out.
Oh, that one. The Cirque du Soleil one.
You going to go?
We have a show that day.
Oh, I guess that does exclude us.
Yeah, hinder you.
Yeah. There is that whole work thing. I just finished weighing in, and I'm ready to get this W in my division. Love the show. That must have been who I told you I saw. I didn't get his name. I was rude and didn't ask his name. I just said, what's up, and kept moving because I had to get back to the show. But good luck to you, sir.
Yeah.
And y'all are thinking of La Chusa when we were talking about the egg and all the stuff that goes with. Or no, maybe that was what Tyler was talking about, the crazy witch lady, La Chusa. I don't know. I don't know what that is.
What is La Chusa? That sounds like a voodoo doll.
That's what I think it was. Tyler was talking about some crazy witch lady that haunts people, and I don't know. Because we were talking about the egg under the bed and under the pillow. And
someone said it's called curandera.
I don't know about that.
You want me to roll my R's, Jerry? Because Lisa would.
I like that.
But my grandma did it all the time. It's called curandera.
So we were talking about Ojo and stuff like that because he didn't know what Ojo was. I was like, yeah, like my wife, the first time I learned about it, she saw a little girl with pigtails and then touched them. And I was like, what are you doing? And she was like, no, you have to. Her hair will fall out. I was like, what? Somebody texted the show and said, oops, somebody gave the Cowboys Ojo. So there is that. And then several, because I said, no, the egg was something different. And several people have texted us said you use the egg to get rid of the evil eye as well, like on your body or whatever somebody gave Ojo to. And I asked Jerry, at the break, because I said, are you of Latin descent? He's like, yeah, I'm Cuban, right?
No, Colombian.
Colombian, excuse me. And I asked, is that part of your culture? Ojo, and you said yes.
Yeah, so for example, my daughter, whenever she was younger, my mom, first thing, she got sick for about 2 weeks. I'm talking about fevers, throwing up, and I guess that's the first thing they run to instead of thinking it's something else. And she said, it's Ojo. It's hard for me to believe this is true, but she got that egg and rubbed it on her, and whatever she was praying, or I'm telling you, when she cracked that egg and into the cup and we left it for her, it was webby, like webby.
And some people say it'll be black.
Yeah, and the way you dispose of it is also a big thing too. You're supposed to dispose of it in a certain way
to
get rid of the bad juju.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, people are really, 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 when they believe in that, I mean, that's their first remedy. Instead of going to a doctor, let's get the egg.
Yeah.
So you're rubbing it on your belly for next week?
Somebody said, I'm going to try that old thing next time I'm at the mall and I see a girl with a big booty. No, that's not you need to go watch the Gillette commercial and get yourself right. Today's my mom's birthday. Shout out to Tracy. There you go. Happy 50th birthday, Tracy. I don't know why you put her age out there, sir. What up, J-Bo, the bookie killer?
They said
killer, but I would have sounded
like
real
me.
White. Yeah. What's up, Usual Suspects? Y'all are awesome. Welcome, Jerry Bo, to the Usual Suspects. Thanks for helping me make some money. So, Jerry, again, reputation of making money is out there. White Magic had one question for me.
Whoa, he's
welcome
alive?
Back, White
Where
Magic?
You been?
Barry, is it true that to rot a pine tree stump faster, you dump tons of vinegar in it?
Shut the hell up, White Magic. Go back away. You already know better than that.
I have heard that, White Magic. I have heard that.
Ivan on Twitter said, Lechuza is an evil bird, but Curandera is the witch doctor.
Okay.
So, Jerry, there's to your point.
Do we have anyone answer the phone to do a giveaway, or should we wait till the next segment when Tyler's not taking off? Oh, you're going to do it, Tyler? All right, let's do this giveaway. It's one more round of tickets for Rice Women's Basketball versus North Texas. Tudor Fieldhouse.
Okay.
T-U-D-O-R. Rice Women's Basketball versus North Texas, who are number four, I do believe. If you don't have weekend plans, now you do. And what better way to enjoy the weekend than to enjoy some free basketball on the beautiful campus at Rice University. So we're going to give away a 4-pack of tickets available to you and the fam. You get to go out and see the Rice women's basketball team take on North Texas. Tip-off is at 2 p.m. at
Tudor
Fieldhouse. So get out there. The Owls, they're looking to extend their 9-game home winning streak. This weekend, you get to go for free. Be caller number 5. We'll take it easy on Tyler because he's eating. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Caller number 5. Good luck.
No doubt about it.
Let's talk some. We got to get that other game in.
How about some lawn advice? I've been waiting a long time to. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Joe. I'm joking.
His face.
No. I'm sorry, Joe.
Oh, that was
Jerry,
beautiful.
Jerry, I mean, we're getting close to a break here. We can make changes on the fly. I'm just letting you know. That right there, not necessary. That's like a cuss word.
I love it.
Jeez, what the hell's wrong with you?
I'm just out here saving people's lawns, and they just haters. Just haters. By the way, when I got to Vortex yesterday, one of the owners, I walked in and goes, hey, what's up, man? You think my lilies are going to freeze?
Oh, my God.
And the word is spreading. The word is spreading. And I was like, man, I really don't know anything about lilies, but you should cover them. You know a trick? Do you want to know a trick for your plants?
Go ahead, Jerry. I'm sure you do.
If you don't have... this is for you, too.
Dumbass asking for advice on this. It's going to start like Choho or whatever the hell you're talking about.
Oh, my God. Choho?
Whatever. Just go.
That was the whitest thing you've said this segment.
Well, that's this segment. Choho. I got one last segment, too, so go.
But here's an interesting trick that you can use if you don't have... Because a lot of people put plastic over their plants. That will actually cause your plants to freeze.
Suffocate them, doesn't it?
Don't put plastic. Use like blankets and sheets. Mm-hmm. Just go to like Walmart and buy really cheap sheets and throw over them. Another thing you want to do is wet the roots. So you can run your sprinkler system in the plants or just put the hose on and get it real wet. A lot of people think, oh no, that freezes it. It actually protects it. Hmm. Third thing is, if you don't have any of that, throw your Christmas lights on your plants. That'll keep them warm enough. They won't freeze. You're welcome. Got him. How was that, Joel?
Strike one,
Did
Jerry
you learn
Bo.
Something? Did you learn something,
Strike,
Joel?
No.
I swear to God, you're going to drive by Joel's house. You're going to see his Christmas lights on his plants tonight.
I learned today what we were talking about last week, and he's out there tweeting about it. Dez Bryant is going to get a ring if the Saints win it all. Wow. And he's happy about it. And he's tweeting about it.
That's ignorant.
So that's crazy. And Martellus Bennett believes it's right. See, I disagree. I know that normally the players have a say-so in it, but my big thing is that you at least have to play a down or two, right?
I would think.
You have to be on the field in a game, not just your first practice to blow it all.
Yep. I agree.
That's crazy. But we'll see what happens. But there, if you're a Cowboys fan, that'll either give you more rooting interest for
or
against the Saints based on how you feel about Dez Bryant.
Yeah.
But that's out there on Twitter.
That's stupid.
And next, let's get into that game. Let's get into the Saints and the Rams and the rematch at the Superdome also on Sunday and spreadsheets and all the breakdown that these two guys have for you. It's coming up next. It's the final half hour of The Usual Suspects. It's Sports Map 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. Everyone's a winner, we're making our fame. Bonafide hustler, making my name. Sometimes I think
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome to Musical Chairs in the Producer's Room on The Usual Suspects on an FEF Friday. Nick is in Vegas. Tyler was in, but Tyler's been doing a marathon of 36 hours straight of production. So Jerry Bow is now in for the final half hour of the show, along with Barry and myself, here at Gal Media Studios. And I mention all of that to mention this. We haven't talked yet about the Rams and the Saints game. And to have the mastermind of the gambling biz that is Jerry Bow break it down with us is always a little extra added for you, the listeners, that are suspects. So without further ado, fellas, let's get into this game.
Well, first of all, you need to know Ben Watson going to be inactive for the championship, that if they lose, that's it. He's done. He said he was going to retire at the end of the year. So no Ben Watson.
See
probably
why, though?
Josh Hill. He's had an
appendicitis.
And they couldn't decide if they needed to do surgery or not. So that's still up in the air, but they did decide that
but
he's not going to play.
That hopefully he gets, you know, because the timing, if he does, if they win this game, that the 2 weeks maybe buys him enough time, and especially because it's his last game,
yeah,
he could play in the Super Bowl.
Somebody asked, do you think that affects the – I don't think so. It's not like Watson was a primary target.
Right.
I mean, he was the primary tight end target for Drew Brees, but Joshua will be fine. And I mean, as long as you got Drew Brees, as long as the whoever's out there at that position can block a little and can run a little and can catch a little – that'll be fine. It's always it's not your first read on that in that Saints offense. It's Thomas and a back, whether it's Kamara or Ingram,
and then
maybe the tight end. But
the big thing with Thomas, like we talked about, I mean, the whole thing which got Marcus Peters just burned a couple of times and got the whole thing started between him and Sean Payton. But the bottom line is, I think Akeem Talib is a big factor in this game. The fact that Akeem Talib is going to be the primary guy on Thomas changes things at least to some degree because of the fact that he is a much better corner than Marcus Peters in terms of covering.
Way better. Yeah. I would agree with that. I still think, though, the Saints, it won't surprise me if they go really rush heavy. They've been rush heavy. I mean, they were sixth in the league in rushing yards, but this game to me is a lot more interesting, I think, than the Patriots Chiefs game, because you can really make a case, which I know you could in the Chiefs game, but I just don't trust Andy Reid. I don't trust the Pat Mahomes. I don't trust him in the cold. So there, for me, and I'm just speaking for me personally, there was a lot of reasons why I looked at that and went, yeah, I'll go Patriots, Brady, Belichick, their experience in the playoffs and the cold and all that. This Rams Saints game, it's indoors. Weather's not a factor.
Right.
You've got two high performing offenses. You've got two defenses that are both, they're opposites, but they're similar. So they're, you know, 22 and 24 points a game allowed. One can't stop the run. One can't stop the pass. And Rams 23rd in rush defense. Saints 29th in pass defense. So you see, okay, well, if the Saints want to run the ball, they probably can because the Rams can't stop the run. And if the Rams want to throw the ball around the field, they probably can because the Saints can't stop it. And guess what? Both of these teams are good at what the other team's defense is bad at. So this might be a high-scoring game. I don't know what the over-under is. When I did my little stupid spreadsheet, it says 28-27.
See, and Jerry, I want to bring you in.
I think it's higher than
that. And here's the one thing that I'll say, because I want to get, obviously, everybody in the discussion. Everybody wants to hear what you have to say. My big thing is, while mentioning what you said about Watson, too, the fact that they lose Sheldon Rankin, that's a big deal because of the fact that we saw what the Rams were able to do last week against the Cowboys, who supposedly had the very young, athletic front seven and all the things that the Cowboys brought to the table. And now you take one of the best run stuffers on the Saints defense in Rankin, you take him out, and you wonder how big of an impact is that going to be when you know the Rams are going to see that and try and smash it right down the middle of, and at least early, and try and set the tone and see if they're able to run the ball effectively again. But my bigger point is, it looks like the Saints have some injuries, while the Rams, we mentioned Talib coming back, are pretty healthy. Is that fair?
It is. It is fair. They're as healthy as they can. I mean, we say that loosely, though, because who's the most important player on that Rams defense, period? I would say Gurley. And if Gurley was 100% like they're claiming why did he have, 10 less carries than big CJ Anderson?
No, that's a good point. And you know what? The thing is, too, is the Saints are getting a lot of love defensively, Barry, when you're talking about, you know, the point counterpoints and who's doing what well. But at the end of the day, you look at it and you say, people are giving the Saints credit on their defense and giving Eli Apple credit as being a guy that's driving it for them. And then I look at the other side of the ball and I say, but you know what? They still got Aaron Donald and Sue, and so many good defenders on that team. And you shocked me when you told me where they ranked in terms of stopping the run in the regular season, bottom third of the league. But it just seems like at some point they have to step up and be who they step up to their abilities with all the guys they have on defense. So it's going to be interesting to me. But you're right. We talked about a home field advantage in Kansas City. But that dome, it's up there.
Well, from a defensive perspective, Saints actually get after the quarterback a little more. Cam Jordan can get after. I mean, they had 49 sacks. The Rams only had 41. That surprised me a little bit with Donald and Sue. Time of possession pretty close. Here's a stat that I think might come into play for both games. Well, I know it will, and it seems cliche, but these are, and when you're talking about turnovers and turnover differential in the NFL. These are in the playoffs, left in the playoffs, are teams 4, 5, 6, and 7 in turnover differential. The Rams have the highest. They're plus 11. The Saints are plus 8. Patriots plus 10. Chiefs plus 9. So all of them really good at taking the ball away and not giving it up. And that might be one of the deciding factors, especially in that cold weather game. A fumble here, an errant pass there. That could be a big difference in both of these games. So I think if you wanted to point to something specific, like, well, you know, do you win time of possession? Do you win the rushing game? Do you win the sack game? I think you win the turnover battle, especially in this Rams-Saints game, because it could either be who's got the ball last or who doesn't make the first mistake or who makes the first mistake that decides this game. Like I said, I have this 28-27 just on the spreadsheet. I might bump that up on both sides, but I still think it's a close game. I think it's a one-point game. But because they're at home, and because I think that's going to matter a lot, and I just like the Saints in this one.
All right. I'm going to defer. Jerry, you go.
You make a great point about the turnovers. The Saints, number 4 in turnover rate, Pat 6, yeah. Rams 9, Chiefs 10. But on the other side, in taking the ball away is where you find the discrepancy. Rams, number 2 in takeaway rate, Patriots 4, while the other teams fall to 13 and 14. That's where you could find a bit of an edge.
So tell me the difference was takeaway rate.
Well, actually taking it away, you know what I mean?
I'm looking at turnover, like plus minus. Like the Rams are plus 11, which is fourth best in the NFL. That means they've taken it away 11 more times than they've given it up.
So for basically what I'm looking at is as far as percentages of turnovers, the two away teams in this weekend have better percentages. Like you said, the Rams 4.2, New England 4.1. You catch both home teams, New Orleans 4.7 turnover ratio.
Okay.
See, and here's the thing, because I let you guys throw all that stuff out there for the peeps. And the other things I'm going to pay attention to are things like this. When you're looking at from an experience intangibles, from an experience standpoint, Breeze against Goff. And we mentioned if Goff gets to the Super Bowl, youngest quarterback ever to get to the Super Bowl, inexperience is what's glaring to me there. When you know that Drew Brees, And last week, a perfect example. Even if he does give a turnover up early, he can recover from that. Whereas mm-hmm. you don't know the psyche and the mentality of a Goff in a big stage, big time game if he was to do the same thing. Yeah. And the other thing in terms of intangibles, when you look at these two teams and you look at what could happen and what, I don't know, you want to say should happen. But when I look at all the things being considered, home field and other things, I just feel like the second time you play a team, it's tough. They always say it's tough to beat a team two times in a year, especially if they're not in your division, unlike the Texans. And I think that the Rams may have seen some things, learned some things. I think it helped them that game was in the Superdome, so it helped them prepare a little bit more. So that's one of the intangibles on the other side of the ball where I might give the Rams a slight edge in saying, hey, been there, done that, been in the Dome. You know, they were getting blown out in the first half. They made a hell of a comeback, but that might help them. I don't know, but I'm hoping it lives up to billing because I think you're right. I think this could be a high scoring game again, and it could be a lot of fun to watch as opposed to what could happen in all the bad weather in Kansas City.
Yeah, the one thing that the Saints did well in that game was run the ball, and they had 141 yards rushing. Rams weren't even able to hit 100 combined with Gurley, Goff, Woods, and Hecker. So that's another thing where you know you can control the ball, especially at home. If you can get up a little bit, force the Rams into a passing situation on the road with the crowd noise and that dome. Those are all factors that I think go into play, which is also, and you spoke to the inexperience of Goff and the fact that Drew Brees may be the best player on the field, maybe, you know, besides Aaron Donald, just especially offensively. I mean, there's all signs point to the Saints. Mm-hmm. But hasn't it been like that all year and the Rams just don't go away? No one expected them to be this good.
Yeah, I think the biggest intangible that hurt the Rams was losing Cooper Kupp. I think they were even
but
more.
But they did what they did without him.
No, I'm saying, and they still did. And obviously, to Jerry's point, too, which is huge, which is Gurley. We don't know how, you know, what he's not 100%, but what percent is he? But I think that the Rams' entire offense took a step back with the loss of Cooper Kupp because he's one of those Swiss Army knives. He's versatile. He's in the slot, but he can beat you with some speed. He gave them so many different options from a guy that's such an offensive genius in Sean McVay that I think it really did. It hurt them. It changed them. It made them a different team. But, you know, with all that being said, like you said, I think the biggest thing that I'll give you is Brees is the most experienced guy on the field, and age isn't going to hurt him in this case. It's going to help him.
Well, when you say hurt, I mean they were fifth in the league in passing.
I get it, but like we talked about.
And you might even make the case like Gurley. Oh, well, with them, they were third in the league in rushing. This is like almost like this is an offense that systematically between McVay and Goff and what they're able to do and how they orchestrate it. Kind of plug and play, it felt like, or it seems like anyways. But you're right. When it comes down to star power and being able to have extra stars, that's where I think they'll miss them when you get to a game like this and you need as many stars as you can get on the field.
Okay. All right, so we got one segment to go in the show. We'll wrap it up, put a bow on it next. Then we're going to turn it over to the Blitz. They're in Vegas for the big fight. So they'll have plenty of stuff coming for you on the simulcast all the way till 7 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. We'll wrap it up. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back final segment of the big show. Jerry Bow behind the glass, filling in for Tyler, who's filling in for Nick, who's filling in for, I don't know. But we've got everybody on hand, Barry and myself. We got to make picks like we normally do on a Friday. We still have to send AJ another pick this week.
I already did.
Oh, well, then I guess that's a yes. Okay, so we'll make...
He said if you had any pride...
Well, I did it last week, and I got it right, but I didn't see there was any update in the standings.
I sent him Chargers plus +4 and crapped the bet on that. But this week, Saints minus -3.
That's what you're taking, the Saints?
Yeah, taking the Saints and the 3. I guess is it still at 3 on the Vegas Insider...
Jerry will tell you that.
No. If that line closes under 4, it'll be the shortest home spread in a playoff game for that Saints team I mean, period, just for the Saints. So usually at home, they're favored by way more than that.
But again, don't you? Jerry, get out of here with your logic. Jerry, and I know you've been busy too, but last thing when I said that, don't you think there is something to that where they say that a team playing for the opponent for the second, it's tough to beat a team twice in a year if they're not in the same division? Is that fair?
It is, and especially when it's a gimmicky offense, when they do special things, like we saw that with the Ravens and the Chargers. The Ravens ran a certain...
With all the D-backs.
Bam, they got stuck. Yeah. But in this one, I'm with Barry as far as points. I think that ultimately, they're going to have to keep scoring. It's going to be like when Texas and OU played. It's mash on the gas, mash on the gas. When you feel like you got a little bit of separation, run it. Because that's where you can... I'm curious to see what the Saints' defense is going to be without the big interior lineman.
Mm-hmm.
We still have to see that. We still have to see what Goff is going against winning quarterbacks. Goff has faced six different Super Bowl winning quarterbacks over 12 games. 3-9 against the spread in those games. This year, he's 0-5 against the spread in that spot, losing each game by 9.8 points. Whenever he plays quarterbacks that are established, especially that have won Super Bowls, he gets blown out.
And, I mean, you mentioned earlier Sheldon Rankins being out, and that's from the team that was number two in stopping the run.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. I think that's going to be a key. And like I said, the Rams love to run the ball, and they're good at it. Even if Gurley isn't 100%, that they can do that. So it's strength versus weakness on both sides of the ball, and that's why I think my spreadsheet numbers are low at 28-27.
Uh-huh.
But I could see this being 35-34.
Oh, yeah.
I could see it being, you know, something like that, 41-40. Wouldn't surprise me. It's in a dome. You ain't got to worry about weather.
I was going to say, and the Rams are giddy because I was going to say that they took the cover off of their brand new Corvette or Ferrari, but no, they took the cover off of their brand new SUV who just pounded the hell out of the ball in CJ Anderson. But until the Saints prove that they can stop them, they got their own version of thunder and lightning like the Saints have with Ingram and Kamara. I don't know, Jerry, what you feel about. I just think that the Rams, the one thing that I said to Barry last segment was, I just feel like the Rams offense took a step back without Cooper Kupp because he gave them so much versatility.
You take the words out of my mouth. That was my next point. Cooper Kupp. That's not the same team without Cooper Kupp.
Okay, I'm going to give you the same point that I gave him. Then why did they finish fifth in passing in the NFL?
Because they had so many yards built up before he got hurt.
Exactly. That offense was moving way before. If we look at the number, I think Goff is 40 yards less per game, 2.5 yards less per pass. It's a big – Kupp was a big difference to that team. I mean, now you got – Who Cooks? I mean, come on, Brent. And then
Brandon Cooks is one, yeah. But then they're Robert Woods, other guys, Woods.
But if those guys, whenever you had all three of them going, all three of them could switch. All three of them can run from the flanker.
That's a good point.
All of them. That's what made them such a hard defense, offense to hold.
They had Cooper Kupp when they lost to the Saints. So I mean, five catches, 89 yards on a touchdown, and they still lost.
I tell people, man, I don't put too much into that first game because look at the schedule the Rams were playing at that time. They had just come off that Kansas City games. I mean, they were one after another. That was their hard part of the season. I don't put too much into that. Second time playing, they're going to come to the table a little bit different. They'll try to run Gurley as much as they can. I don't see it. A bet that I love this week, CJ Anderson over 33 yards.
So you're last the game, week inside the game.
Yeah,
inside that, the game.
That's actually I see where you're going there.
So then if last week he had 20 odd carries, 26, I believe. Let's say they cut that down because it's a big game. Let's cut that down in half. Let's get Gurley his run. So then with 13, 15, let's say 16 carries, all he has to do is get 2 yards per carry to hit that number.
Yeah. And you know, and especially
against
if Gurley's
the depleted Saints front seven.
And if Gurley's not right, then they're gonna try and run him more.
Exactly.
And Jerry, you bring up a good point that I forgot about, which was you not only mentioned the fact it was a tough part of the schedule, but think about that now. That game was supposed to be in Mexico City, and the Rams went to Colorado, and then they weren't going to Mexico City, and then they had to change on the fly again and go home and do all those different things and then go to the Superdome. I didn't think about that, but you mentioned the Chargers and travel in the last 2 weeks, and the Rams had a lot of travel in that period of time, too. That's interesting.
All right, so who's your pick, Joel?
I think it's going to be – I'm going to take – I'm going to stick with what I said. I may be wrong, but I believe that the Rams are going to find a formula to run the football. I think it's going to be high scoring, as you guys have said. I really believe that the Rams are going to be in the football game. My gut tells me that they're going to win the football game.
So the spread is 3.
Rams are getting 3. So I'm going to take the Rams and the points,
and
I'm going to take the Chiefs. And I'm going to take the Chiefs.
So you take the Rams and the points and straight up. You think the Rams win it straight up?
If I'm leaning one way or another, I say the Saints could win the game straight up. But yeah, if I got to pick straight up and spread and the other in game, and that's what you're going to force me to do, then I will.
Well, I mean, I would just want to know, who do you think is going to win the game, and then how would you do it?
I'll take
the
Rams and the points.
Okay.
And I'm going to take the Chiefs to beat the Patriots.
Okay.
All right. I don't want Jerry. You allowed to do this? Or are you giving away your secrets for your?
Yeah, you don't
website?
Have to do it, Jerry. It's you don't okay. have to do that. It's all right. I'm going to go. So I'll take the Saints. Mm-hmm. I'll give the three, but I think the Saints win straight up.
Okay.
And I like the Patriots, and I like the Patriots winning straight up. I think it's a close. I think both of these are close games because you can tell because of the spread. The fact that it's 3 points lets you know that Vegas is saying, "Well, here's your 3 points for being at home." Otherwise, all these teams are pretty much the same. Weather obviously a factor in one game, but not the other. And I'll tell you, it's tough because, like I said, 28-27. I wouldn't think. You would think, okay, well, then if you're gambling, then that says take the points if you think it's a 1 point game. The spreadsheet was garbage for me last week, and sometimes you just got to use the eye test and you got to look at what you think that these teams can do. I think the Saints can beat this Rams team by more than 3 points.
I'm with you.
So yeah, so I've got Saints and the points, and winning straight up. Patriots and the points, winning straight up. Jerry, what about you? Oh, you don't have to.
I'm with you on the Saints, though. I'm not scared, and I'm not scared to tell people I'm the Chiefs too.
Okay.
Like, it gets to one point where you just got to go old school, like you're betting your buddy, and you throw those lines out the way whenever it's at 3, 2.5. Hit a money line, and don't worry about that.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's hard going against Brady. I guess I didn't learn my lesson from last week. But on the Saints game, I'm all over with you, Barry. The Saints are going to do work in that house. I don't see
you guys have convinced me a lot on the Saints, but because early in the week I was just thinking it was going to be Chiefs Rams, and I legitimately can see the Saints winning this game, but we'll see what happens. I'm going to go with my gut on what I think with the Rams and beating the team twice in a year. So we'll see. It's fine. I don't lose anything if I lose. So
you just my respect. That's all you
well,
lose.
Well, I lost that months ago, if not a year ago, and also told you Jerry Rice is the GOAT of all time.
You're going and. According to the 2005 article, you were
close.
Right. Yeah. So you're going Chiefs and you're giving the points, right?
Yeah.
They win by more than three?
I'm going Chiefs and giving the points, and I'm going Rams and taking the points.
Okay. Cool.
There you have it. Fellas, and Jerry, thank you so much for stepping
in. Thanks for helping.
Tyler, thanks for being a marathoner for the last couple of days as well.
Clarence, sorry we couldn't take your call. We ran out of time.
We are doing a show on Monday.
Call back, buddy.
So,
go Saints.
You guys
Saints,
are off Clarence. Monday.
I'll do it for you, Clarence. Who that?
You're off on Monday. We're not. So that's good for you guys. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the football games. The Blitz is next from Vegas. We'll talk to you on Monday.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com.